There are many people in the world, and probably some of you, that whether it's a hobby or something else, you have a collection of something. You collect things. And I don't mean just random things, but you purposely collect things. Some people do this. I remember one time, and I'm just going to not no more, but at one point in my life, in our marriage, I used to, every time I would go somewhere, I would bring home a teapot for Allison. Please, get no more. We don't do this anymore. And so I would go and I'd bring home a teapot for Allison. And I thought it was cool. I don't know what she thinks, but I thought it was neat. And so I'd find a neat teapot. Well, then it kind of got out of hand because I happened to, and that's why I said no more. Because I happened to mention it from the pulpit, and pretty soon every one of you was helping add to this collection. And it wonderfully so, but it got to be too much, and it was just like there were teapots all over the place. And so finally we stopped the teapot collection. We don't have a teapot collection anymore. But a lot of people collect things, and they have collections, and collections, sometimes collections just stay small, and other times collections grow. I was just online, and I typed in, it's in, well, I don't know if I'd encourage you to do this, but I just typed in strange and unique collections, things that people collect. Boy, I tell you what, it's interesting. I mean, there's one man, and he collects back scratchers. You know those things you use to scratch your back? This guy's got over 750 of them from all over the place. I mean, they're, you know, ones with, they're just unique, everything. Well, he's a back doctor, so we understand that, all right? But he collects backs. Can you imagine having 750 back scratchers in your, but here's another one. And Allison said, I really shouldn't share this one, but I just have to because it's strange, it's weird. But it's got a meaning behind it. Can you imagine having a toenail collection? A toenail clipping collection. There's some people. It's not only one person. They have over 10,000 individual bags of toenail clippings. Now listen, there's a purpose behind it. All right? It's for medical research. All right? They gather, but can you imagine? Yeah, I'm donating to a toenail collection. I just couldn't see that. Well, maybe I ought to, because mine are strange anyways. But a toenail collection, and there's all sorts of different collections that people have. But then people, you read about it, some people, they have a small collection and that's enough. And they just stop right there. And other people keep adding to their collection. Well, the reason why I say that is because when we began looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1 speaks about our precious faith. And then it speaks about how God, according to his power, hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. And it says, according as his divine promises, his promises has given unto us that we might be partakers of the divine nature. And then verse number 5 says this. It says, beside this, it says, give all diligence. Giving all diligence. And that means to be serious, to be passionate, to be earnest about something. When you give all diligence to something, it's a priority on your list. If I'm going to give diligence, that means it's of great concern to me. It's a matter of great importance. And it says, beside this, giving all diligence, and then it says this, add to your faith virtue, knowledge. And it goes on to list 7 things that the Bible says we are to add to our faith. add to our faith. And it's like there's a collection of items that God wants us to have in our life as a result of our faith. But it says, add to your faith. So my question is, how? If I was reading that for the first time, and if I was listening to someone read that for the first time, my question would be, how? How do I add to my faith virtue, knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and charity? How do I add to my faith? Can I go online, as we always do, and go to Amazon.com and my Amazon Prime account and type in virtue, and it'll arrive next day? Now it's one day shipping. It's great. Can you do that? No. No. You can't go on Amazon and type in virtue and for, you know, $7.99, you get a monthly subscription. You can't go to Amazon and type in knowledge or patience or long-suffering or charity or all these things, and yet the Bible says we're to add them to our faith. We're to add them. And when you think about it, you can look at your life and you can stand there, you can sit there and you can say, okay, I am going to add to my faith brotherly kindness. And you can set out and you can say, this morning, I'm going to be the kindest person. I'm going to be the one with the most. You can't do it, folks. You can't add to your faith these things. So how do you add to your faith these things? Well, that's what I want to show you this morning. Because when it says add to your faith, what it means is this: that as you strengthen your faith, as you grow in your relationship, these things will be of God added to your life. That's how it happens. You see, some collections are They're just how they are. They're just stalled, if you will. Some people start a collection and it just kind of stalls. And then other people, their collection grows. And this morning I want you to see how it can be that your life as a Christian, that your relationship with the Lord, that your Christian life can go from being stalled and stationary to something that is growing and pleasing in the Lord. So that it's evident and visible and seen by others. But how do you add to your faith? That's what John chapter 6 in this lesson for the disciples is for. In John chapter 6, and here's what I want us to see. John chapter 6, if you're there or you need to turn back there, get there. John chapter 6, come on up on the mountain and let the Lord teach us this morning. John chapter 6, Jesus said to his disciples something very, very important, very precious, very practical and useful for you and me. He said to his disciples, specifically to these 12 men, 5,000 people gathered around. He didn't speak to these 5,000. He didn't say to the multitude, you multitude gather. No, he said specifically to these men that were close to him, that believed in him, that were following. He says, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. So I got three questions that we're going to answer this morning as we study this passage of Scripture. Number one, what are the fragments? What did Jesus Christ mean by the fragments? What are the fragments? The fragments are the bread of life. The fragments are one thing, the bread of life. They picture one thing, the bread of life, the words of Jesus Christ. That word fragment means a piece that is broken. And let me just differentiate for you this morning. When Jesus Christ said, gather up the fragments, he did not say, gather up the leftovers or the crumbs. Two other passages of scripture. One was a widow woman that was seeking the Lord for help in her life. And she said, even the dogs at the master's table, even the dogs would get the scraps, or she says, the crumbs that fall from the master's table. This is not crumbs that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about. These are not the crumbs that fall off of a table. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16 that there was a rich man that fared sumptuously, and then there was a beggar that sat at his door every day just waiting for the crumbs that he might have for the rich man's table. When Jesus Christ said, gather up the fragments, understand this, he is not saying, pick up the crumbs that people have dropped along the way. He's not saying, stand by Pastor Meter when he eats at the table and pick up all the stuff that he's dropped on the floor. I'm notorious for that. If you want crumbs, just come with me. You'll find chips. You'll find crust. You'll find a lot of things at my feet when I eat. Because I should move on, shouldn't I? Well, let's just say this. I can be a slob when I eat. I might look nice right now, but when I eat, there's a lot of crumbs at my feet. That's not what Jesus Christ is saying, folks. He's saying, gather up the fragments. Those fragments were pieces of bread that Jesus Christ had broken for people to be filled with, people to eat and fill. And he's speaking, it's a picture of the very words of Jesus Christ. Later on in this very passage of scripture, Jesus Christ would say, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that eateth of me, you won't go hungry. You'll be filled. He had just filled the multitudes. The multitudes had eaten all that they want, and they were filled. And now he says to his disciples, he says, I want you to gather up the fragments. What he's speaking about, what he's illustrating for them is his very words, the very words of God. Because he says, the words that I give unto you, they're spirit and they're life. Peter would say down in John chapter 6 and verse number 68, as people would leave, and Jesus would say to his disciples, he says, will you go away also? And Peter would say this, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He said, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. The book of Hebrews, that precious book that speaks about Christ, it starts off this way. God, who in times past has spoken unto us by his prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And the word fragments there, they're pieces of bread that have been broken by the Lord and given and provided for a purpose. Jesus gives us his words. He's the one that breaks open the bread of life. He's the one that gives us his words because he has a purpose that those words, his words, would be what we need in our life. That would fill our life. That would satisfy our life. That would complete our life. Turn over to John chapter 13. Let me give you an illustration this morning of what a fragment is for me and what it means to me. Many times we read through the Bible and we read and we reread portions of Scripture. But then when we read and we meditate, you see, here this morning, let me explain it to you. Here this morning, I'm preaching to you and myself to a multitude. We're preaching a message. And we're all looking at the same passage of Scripture. But when you get alone in the Word of God, and you study the Word of God for yourself, just you and Jesus alone, just you and the Holy Spirit, the Lord wants to give you specifically a fragment for you. That's what our daily time is all about, folks. Peter said this in John chapter 21, in 2 Peter chapter 1, about John 21. John chapter 21 is the last part where Jesus is speaking to Peter. And you know the passage. He says, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And then he goes on to tell Peter how it is that Peter's going to die and how in his death he should glorify God. But as Peter's writing to the people in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says something interesting. And he's referring back to John chapter 21. He's referring to that time when Jesus showed him how he would die and how he'd glorify. But he said this, and it's very unique, specific. In referring to that, he says in verse 14, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. That day, when Jesus had the disciples and they'd come in from fishing and he fed them and then he spoke to Peter, when he showed Peter in what way he would die, he wasn't speaking to anybody else. He said, Peter, I'm going to show specifically to you about your life, how you are going to die, and how you are going to glorify me. Now the others heard it. They were around. And he refers to it in 2 Peter, but he says it's something that the Lord showed me. May I tell you this? That every morning when you get up and you read your Bible, that's what the Lord wants to do for you. And you know, there's many times that you'll get something out of the Word of God. And you'll get so excited about it. This happens to me all the time. I'll get so excited about something the Lord shows me, and I'll just start telling other people. And you know what I notice? A lot of times it's like, goes right over their head. And I walk away and I say, well, how come you didn't get that? You didn't see that. What's up with you? What are you, blind? And you know why? It's the Lord saying, listen, buddy, that was a fragment for you. That's for you. That's what I have for you. Same word of God, but the Lord said, no, I got this specific, this is a fragment, this is a piece that I've broken off to give to you, for you in your life. Don't expect everybody else to get it. I'm talking to you personally. I could wind the message up right here, but we're going to keep going. And so here, let me show you a fragment that the Lord gave me in John chapter 13. And it's become one of the... And listen, when you get these fragments, understand this. These things will become so precious to you that when you read them and you remember it, it'll just... They're like gems that just stick out from the rest of the Bible for you. Every word of God is pure. But when the Lord gives you something, man, it's pure, 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 pure. You know, it's like that commercial, free, 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 right? What is that? Free for me? It's that one that has to do with TurboTax. That's a dumb commercial. But it says free, 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 free. Hey, this is pure, 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 pure. Okay? Look at John 13. Here's one that in the last few months when I was sitting home and couldn't do anything, in John chapter 13, verse number one, and it ends the account where Jesus is going to wash the disciples' feet. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Just stop right there. That phrase right there. One day, one morning, I was studying this. All of a sudden, the Lord just, bam! He just took this phrase in verse number one, and he took a big old drill, and he drilled right into my brain, and he got a funnel, and he said, I'm just going to pour this into you. It was like filling the engine with oil again, get things running smoothly. But look what he said. Jesus didn't say, when he knew that his hour's come, that he should go to the cross. He was about to go to the cross. He didn't say he was going back to heaven. He said, when this hour's come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. And right there one morning, I'm sitting there and say, you know what? The focus, the heart, the thoughts of Jesus Christ right here were, hey, I'm going to the Father. It was about his relationship with his Father once again. That's why I said, man, you need to read John over and over and over again. But that was a nugget. That was a fragment that the Lord gave to me. So now every time I turn to John 13, man, I just stop right there and I say, wow, wow. Even as he was going to wash the disciples' feet, even as he was going to be betrayed, go to the cross, die on the cross, he's thinking about his relationship with the Father. And I could go, but I just want to show you, that's a fragment that the Lord gave me one day. And he said to these disciples, he says, there's fragments, pieces of the bread of life, my words, that I've broken off to give to you, that you can be filled, that you can be filled. And so those are the fragments. That to me, that's what the word fragment means to the disciples here. Jesus, gather up the fragments that none would be lost. But then second of all, as he says, gather up the fragments, okay? When you know, it's interesting. In John chapter 6, he takes the loaves in verse 11, he gives thanks, he distributes to the disciples, and to the disciples of them were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. You know, he doesn't, no details about how they were to distribute them, no details about what they were to put them in as they distributed them. But when he tells them to gather up the fragments in verse number 12, gather up the fragments that remain that nothing be lost, it says, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. In this passage of Scripture, it says they gathered them up and they filled 12 baskets. The next time they would gather them up, they would fill 7 baskets. First time they gathered 12 baskets. Second time they gave us 7 baskets. You ever stop and think about that? Why 12 and why 7? Why not 12 and 12? Why not 7 and 7? Why 12 and 7? What are the baskets all about? Well, the baskets were what they were to put those fragments in. What they were to put those fragments in. And I just called it listen, if it's the bread of life, the baskets are, for me, they're the baskets of love. Because once again, it goes back to John 13. In John chapter 13, it says, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And everything that Jesus does for you and me is because he loves us. Amen? He loved me and gave himself for me. Why does he give us his word? Why does he feed us in the morning? Why does he give us these things? Because he has to? No. Because he's obligated to? No. Because he loves me and he cares so much about me. It says, having loved his own words, he loved them unto the end. Listen, the Bible says, nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. If there's one thing I know, it's that little chorus that we sing all the time. Jesus loves me, and this I know. How come? I'll tell you how come, because the Bible tells me so. But the baskets, he says, you gather up these fragments. He says, you don't just gather them in your hands. He says, gather them in a basket. The basket is where we put these things. Where do we put them? Well, I set up a document on my computer. It's called Fragments. And I just write them down. But you know what? If you know me and computers, I can put a document on the computer and then 5 years later I'll say, oh, what's that thing? Right? How many documents have you put on your computer and you never opened them up again? Right? And you look, oh, wonder what that's about, right? Well, that's good, and that's wonderful, and you ought to, because it does give you a place to look back. But Jesus doesn't want, listen, they're already recorded in the book, right? You don't need to put them on in a document. He wants them to be somewhere else, right here. Right there. Psalm 119 and verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And he wants the word of God. Not only, I mean, I know we're supposed to memorize the word of God. But more importantly, he says, I want these things that I've given specifically to you. I want the fragment that I've given to you personally in your devotion time, in your morning time, in your daily time, the one that one-on-one my Holy Spirit has given to you as my beloved child. He says, I want you to gather those up. I want you to hide those in your heart for you, for you. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you have things and I know I'm intruding here this morning. Do you have things in your kitchen, in your cabinets that are just for you? We do. We do. Listen. I'm going to get in big trouble here, but Allison has maple syrup. But let me tell you something. She's got real maple syrup, and then she's got other maple syrup. Guess who the real maple syrup is for? Us. Guess who the other maple syrup is for? You. If we're going to serve pancakes, listen, you can come over all you want, but you ain't getting the homemade Vermont maple syrup from her brothers up in Vermont. You're getting the cheap, well, anyways, you're getting the stuff that's in the plastic bottle from ShopRite, all right? I have stuff in the cabinet just for me. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but anyways, you've got stuff in your cabinets just for you. Someone reaches in, and you say, whoa, 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 that belongs to me. That's what the Lord wants for you with his word. He wants you to have fragments from him that are the bread of life, and he says, I want them just to be for you. You know, why do we hide them in the heart? Because he says, I don't want them to be lost. I don't want them to be lost. You know, if there's one thing I'm good at, it's losing things. And a lot of times they're right there. The other day I was looking for just cutters to cut some branches. Now I knew where Allison's cutters were, but I don't want to borrow those. Because I'll lose those, or I'll ding them up, or those are hers. I'm looking all around, and I have a special place for gardening, to outside tools. And I looked, and I looked, and I looked, and not there. So then I looked at my, I said, I wouldn't put them in my tool chest. Certainly I wouldn't do that. No, they weren't there. Well, I looked in my truck. I looked in behind the seat, under the seat, over the seat. Not there. I couldn't find them. Couldn't find them. Well, a day later, I walked out. A day later, 24 hours later, I walked out. And I walked by the table saw in the garage. Right there, nice flat spot. Guess where my cutters were? Right on the top of that nice flat open table saw. Right in plain sight. Right in plain sight. But I missed them. They were in plain sight because I didn't put them in a place where I knew they'd be for me. And he says, I want you to hide it in your heart. I want you to hide it in your heart. And you know, in getting back to John chapter 6, he says, fill 12 baskets. 12 baskets. And I believe that just pictures that he says, I want each one of you to have a basket full for yourself. And that's what Jesus wants for us. He wants each one of us to have our own heart to be filled with the fragments, the words that he gives to us personally. But you know, in the other passage of Scripture, he says, seven baskets. And that's because as he fills us with his word, he wants our life to be complete. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, when it says, adding to your faith, give all diligence, add to your faith, seven things it lists. And it says, if these things be in you and abound, you'll not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. And there's seven things, and it means to be complete. And Jesus wants us to get his word in our heart so that he can not only fill our heart and fill our life, but he says that your life will be complete. Your collection will be complete by me. And so he says, I want you to gather these fragments. I want you to gather them and keep them in your heart. They're for you, each one of you, so that your life will be complete. And the Bible says they did eat and were filled. And he says, gather up the fragments. And he said to them in Mark 8, how many baskets full are they? And they said, seven. There was 12 and there was seven. I want to give you another fragment that the Lord gave me that just And it's in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, and verse number 28. And it's where the three men are standing before the king, and they have to interpret, or Daniel has to interpret the dream. And he says, let me inquire of the Lord. And he comes back, and he says to Pharaoh, he simply says this, and it's just this little phrase. And I tell you what, this has been stuck in my heart by the Lord, and I am so thankful for it. Because they stood before that man that could take their lives in a moment, and they said this. They simply said this, but there is a God in heaven. Now, I can remember one day studying that, meditating on that, and all of a sudden God just took that phrase out of that one whole story, out of that whole account. And he took that one phrase, but there is a God in heaven. And I hid that phrase in my heart. I hid that truth in my heart. And I'll tell you what, there's been so many times that whenever I have faced something in life, the Holy Spirit has just said, you remember what I gave you that day? And that one fragment has brought more peace to my heart and soul than anything else. But there's a God in heaven. Because you know what? That's a game changer. That's like Brady. That's a game changer. Amen? That changes everything. You can look at all the circumstances. You can face everything you want. And all of a sudden you remember, hold on. Hold on. Because you know what? There's a God in heaven. And all of a sudden, all those circumstances, all those trials, all those challenges. I was in the hospital the other day getting my nuclear stress test. And by the way, thanks for your prayers. My heart is 100% normal. There is nothing wrong with my heart. Amen? Which means that I can preach as hard as I want. I'm not going to drop dead, and you don't have to be worried about it. All right? And so that, and I looked at the pictures. Man, it's cool. It's cool. You see your arteries, and then you see the hole wide open. You see the one afterwards, just as wide open as the one before. But I'm in the nuclear stress test, and this person said to me, we started talking, and I told this individual, I said, I'm a pastor, and preach the Bible. And the person said, you know, I kind of thought so. And I said, what do you mean? They said, well, everybody today is walking around like the light has gone out of their eyes. And everybody around is angry or afraid. And the person said to me, they said, but you're just calm and peaceful and smiling and you don't seem to be worried. And I said, I'm not. I said, because I'm trusting the Lord. And so I've got nothing to worry about in all of this. And God gave me an opportunity to minister to someone. But that person saw the difference when you remember there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. You know, by the way, I went through this nuclear stress test. I was with Joe on Thursday, right, Joe? On Thursday, I couldn't ratchet with a ratchet for more than 2 minutes. I couldn't do anything Thursday. Thursday afternoon, Joe? I couldn't do a thing. I just stood there. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move. I just stood there. So I go into this nuclear stress test, right? And they tell me, listen, we're going to do this nuclear stress test, and it's going to add stress, and you're going to be short of breath and everything else. Tell you what, you want to know how good the Lord is? I was more relaxed and more at ease and felt better going through the nuclear stress test than I did working with Joe. Ratchet or just with one ratchet. Thursday, I mean, I'm going through this. And now listen, they have people, you know how it is. They have people watching you, ready to wheel you down to the operating room and everything else. I'm sitting there and saying, it was like I said, this is all you got? This is it? This is it? And they said, we might need to get. I said, folks, I haven't felt better in my life than this. I said, you know, instead of giving me prednisone, give me a nuclear stress test every day. It works better. But anyways, when you have the Lord and you have these things hidden in your heart, folks, they make a difference. So number one, the fragments of the bread of life. Number two, the baskets. It's where the Lord wants us to keep these things. But then thirdly is this. Go to John chapter 6. Third is this. And here's where it gets back to add to your faith. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. The Lord Jesus Christ did not walk around, pick up a basket, and fill it for the disciples. And then say, here you go. The Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, you gather up the fragments. And here's where the difference is in your life as a Christian. Here's where your collection will either be stalled or growing. It's up to you. He said to the disciples, gather up the fragments. And here we can see the fragments of the bread of life. We can see the baskets that the Lord says, I want you to lay these treasures up in your heart. But we must see the bidding of the Lord. Because the Lord said to the disciples, you, Peter, you, James, you, John, you, Andrew, you gather up the fragments. You gather up the fragments. Folks, I can stand up here and preach my whole life. And you can go home and be the same tomorrow as you were yesterday. Or you can gather up the fragments and see the collection added to your faith. So once again, we say, okay, all right, get here. How do I gather up the fragments? How do I gather up the fragments? Well, he told those disciples, he said, you need to go get those fragments. You need to pick them up. You need to put them in the basket. Here's where the game changer is in your life, folks. Psalm 1, verse number 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. In his law doth he meditate day and night. You see, to gather up the fragments, the There's got to be more time right here. Man, this is a simple message when you get right down to it. There's got to be a more intense reading of the Word of God personally for yourself and your life. You've got to get in the book and you've got to open up the Bible and you've got to say, Lord, I need you to give me something today for me. Lord, I know you're giving something to the pastor, but he's not living my life. Right? I'm not living your life for you. Pastor and I used to laugh about this all the time. We'd chuckle. We'd say, boy, if we could only jump in people's skin. Right? If only we could get inside of someone else. Hey, the Holy Spirit's done that for you. And the Lord says, you need to delight in my word. And you need to meditate. Meditate. That word meditate means to stop and think about it. You know, let's just put it this way. We are thick. Right? Come on now. And it takes a while for the Lord to, first of all, erase the whiteboard. Erase the whiteboard and clean out the mind. And then purify it and then fill it. It takes time. And the Lord says, listen, meditate, meditate. That means to just really think about it, to stop and think about it. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to just read a passage of Scripture and just spend time. There's a lot of times, folks, where I will take one portion of Scripture and I will read it for days and days and days and days. And I will read the same portion of Scripture. I'll just read it over and over again. Now, there's times when I'll just read through the New Testament because God's given me the ability to read and understand. But there's a lot of times, like that phrase, adding to your faith, give all diligence, adding to your faith. I have just read those words for weeks. For weeks, I've said, Lord, you said giving all diligence to add to your faith. Help me with this. Help me to understand this. Help me to see this. Help me to, and the Lord has. But it's taking time. It's taking time to really, you know, Psalm 119 and verse 103 says this, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. But then in verse number 18, the psalmist says, Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And I wonder, is that what we do when we open up the Bible in the morning? Is that what we do? Or do we just open it up and sit down and say, okay, I got to read. I'm in a hurry. I got to get to work. And I know that, folks. I understand that. I understand our schedules. I used to be there. Now I'm fortunate. I'm a pastor. I only work one day a week. I got nothing else to do. But Jesus said in his word that the prayer of this psalmist was, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Jeremiah said this, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ wants his word to be for you. You know, he wants to feed you. He wants you to be fed. He wants you to be filled. And he says, I want you to take my word. He says, I want you to gather up the fragments, that I have just special for you. Listen, he wants in the morning or in the noontime or the evening, he wants to sit down just like he said to Peter and the disciples on that morning in John chapter 21 where he said, come and dine. Come and dine. He says, I want you to sit down for breakfast with me. I want you to feed with me. And they came to that meal and they saw that fire, those coals, and they saw the bread and fish already laid out. And Jesus said, come and die. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ wants for you and me. And most of the time, we treat the Bible just like we men treat our meals. Our wives spend all this time preparing with all the love in their hearts and all the ability they have a wonderful dinner. And what do? Chum, 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 chum. Oh boy, done with that. Come on, men. Right? How many of us wolf down our food? Now, you're all sitting there like, not me. Right? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Right, Chris? We do. Right? Jesus said, don't do that with me. Sit down and dine. Fellowship. Let me feed you. You know what it says in Psalm 81, verse 16? He should have also fed them with the finest of wheat. God said to Israel, he says, I would have fed you with the finest of wheat. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ wants for you and me. He's the bread of life. And so, how do we add to our faith? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Jesus said to his disciples, he says, listen, gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. The bread of life. It's the words of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. The basket of love. It's his love that gives us to him. And he says, I want you to hide him in your heart, in the depths of your heart, so that the Holy Spirit can bring him to your remembrance in the day and time when you need that one thing that I showed you personally. He said, but you got to gather them up. You got to meditate. You got to fellowship with the Lord. You got to come and dine. You know, some people are content with their collection just the way it is. And you go in there and you can look at their collection on the wall or in their room or whatever. And you can come back 5 years later and they'll say, look at my collection. And you can say, hey, have you added to it? No, it's just the same as it was 5 years ago. It's a lot of Christians, that's how their life is. And that's not what the Lord wants. He says, add to your faith. He says, I want to add to your faith. I want you to grow. He says, I want your collection of my grace to be growing in your life. And he says, if you come and dine, I'll add to your collection. Some people, they travel all across the world to add to their collection. I mean, that guy that had 750 back scratchers, he's got them from all over the world. Got them from all over the world. I mean, like, you know, I don't know how he does it, but he, you know. Oh, you want to hear another strange collection? You want to hear a really weird, can you imagine this? Some man collects, I don't know what they call them. They're those little bags that are in the seat in front of you on the airlines. You know the ones I mean. Can you imagine being married to a man that collects those bags from every airlines in every country? What a collection that is, huh? Right? Tell you what, listen, this collection, this is the collection you want to collect. Virtue and knowledge and patience, godliness, temperance, long-suffering, charity, brotherly kindness, the graces of Christ. Some people travel all over the country, spend all their time, spend all their money to add to the collection. And Jesus says, listen, you don't have to go all over the world. You don't have to spend all your money. He says, you want your collection to be full? Right here. All you have to do is open this up. Spend time with me. And let me add to your collection. And you'll see your collection. You'll see your life. Won't be stalled. Won't be stagnant. But the collection of his grace in your life will be growing
continually through him as you add to your faith through his word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I pray it's been a blessing and encouragement and a challenge to us in our lives. And we thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.